Reading today is from Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah.
Thank you, Paula. If we could go to the next slide, that one. That's it, the new series, new year, new series, and we are looking at greater things than these. This is also our motto verse for this year, John 14:12, where Jesus says to his disciples, "And you will do even greater things than these." Well, God with us. That's what we've been celebrating at Christmas. That's why we've had all our visits to families and presents and foods and all that, because God has come to us. And God coming to us in Jesus Christ also brings God's kingdom. And when Jesus started his ministry, the first thing that he set about doing was announcing his kingdom. The kingdom of God has come. And when the kingdom of God meets with people, things change and their lives change. People experience healing and forgiveness, and their lives are put back together and restored because the kingdom of God changes things. And we want to see those changes around this city. We want to see kingdom life. Those healings, those restoring, those people finding forgiveness at all parts and all places, all corners around this city. That's what we are about. That's why we form as a church. Our purpose as a church, our reason for being a church, is to be a people of God in mission across this city with this desire to see that kingdom change, that transformation in all places around the city. And because we want to see more of that kind of stuff going on, we want to see a greater work of God and to see those kingdom effects popping up in more places and different places around the city. As a leadership, we've decided that for this year, a key word for us is going to be capacity, seeking God for the capacity, a greater capacity, to see these greater works of God around the city. Seeking him for that greater kingdom transformation, the capacity for that mission and ministry through us as a people, as a gathered community of faith, in other words, as a church, around the place. It's not just more, it's not just numerically increases, it's also deeper and more profound. But however it takes shape, that is our desire, to see God bring that greater capacity through us and among us. In the story of Acts, this is Luke writing down what happened beyond Jesus' death, beyond his appearing alive again, seeing what happened through those early Christians. We see God increasing capacity. We see God adding capacity for mission and ministry as things spread hundreds of miles into Greece and around the Roman Empire towards Rome. And that added capacity often comes in the form of God adding people. New people joining in and joining with that work of announcing the kingdom of God and seeing kingdom transformation around the place. But here's a funny thing. It wasn't always straightforward. God adding people, it wasn't like in Jerusalem, they had some kind of disciple factory which turfed out these people who would all go with exactly the same message in exactly the same way, and the only difference was the different places that they went to. There was no kind of cloning process in Jerusalem to produce these people. Well, as you read Acts, it's messy. It reads as an unfolding story because it was a messy process. Different people were added in different ways and different times, and they brought different baggage with them, and they learned at different speeds and they did different things. It was a right messy process, no simple cloning. There was no set of lectures that they could give people and say, go through this course, complete this, and off you go. Because for each and every person that God wanted to add to their number, that person needed their own spiritual transformation and their own spiritual change and their own spiritual growth. And each individual person, of course, was different. So it was a very messy process. And they kind of had to learn and work it out along the way. So you get an example like Apollos that we read about in Acts chapter 18. The interesting thing about Apollos is that he had a good Jewish pedigree, a good Jewish background from Alexandria, which is, ask Emma, as he'll know, it's in the north of Egypt, just on the top there, next to the Mediterranean Sea, a key center for the Roman Empire. And he brought that Jewish learning, and he already seemed to know about Jesus and was able to go into Jewish places of worship, the synagogues, and tell people about Jesus, which is fantastic. But despite all that, there seemed to be something that was lacking, something missing. If you read on into Acts chapter 19, you get the same thing. There's another 12 or so people that Paul bumps into, and they seem to be following. They seem to be in discipleship in some way, which is fantastic. But again, there seems to be something missing. Now, the difficulty for us is that Luke doesn't give us a whole load of details about what that looked like, about what the problem was. He doesn't spell out all the theology and stuff to tell us. We just got a few little clues. Well, what we are told is that there's this other couple, Priscilla and Aquila, and they take Apollos aside and they do their own little discipleship program with him to help him to learn about the way more adequately, whatever that means. And then both with Apollos and with the other 12 that Paul bumps into, we are told another little snippet of a detail in that we're told that they only knew the baptism of John. And so although they seem to know about Jesus, they didn't know the baptism of Jesus and therefore presumably him and his Holy Spirit. That's likely very significant because remember the baptism of John. John was wanting to prepare people for the coming of God. And he said, come and be baptized. And he was doing that in the River Jordan, murky water, but come and be cleansed. Get your life in order. Get ready for God's coming. A baptism of preparation. But the baptism of Jesus was, of course, all about meeting with Jesus, which meant that you were meeting God. And so the baptism of Jesus and receiving his Holy Spirit was receiving God himself and God in you. And therefore, God's capacity to minister, God's ability to bring kingdom transformation and kingdom change in people's lives, that capacity now in you, in receiving the baptism of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And so for Apollos, that had good effect after his little discipleship program. He wanted to go further. He wanted to travel other places to do mission and ministry work. And Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila and the other Christians, they had the good sense to release him off to do that and empower him to do that. So there you see there is added capacity, because Apollos is now better equipped to go off and do this stuff. So I think there's a causal link in some way with Apollos going through this discipleship program with Priscilla and Aquila. He went in some way deeper with God, some way appreciating more the baptism of Jesus and receiving his Holy Spirit. The capacity of God in his life increased his capacity for mission and ministry. A definite cause and effect. To go deeper with God, a greater understanding, a bigger embrace of God with us, God meeting his capacity in you, leads to more capacity for mission and ministry. So if you remember nothing else from this morning, just remember that there's that link. Go deeper with God, greater capacity for mission and ministry. Well, we want to see kingdom life across this city. We are a church in mission across the city for that purpose. And so we seek God for increased capacity. And as a leadership team, we've identified four broad brush areas. And the first of those is for each of us as individuals. And that's what we're concentrating on this week, increased capacity in us as individuals. In other words, for us to know God more, for us to go deeper, for us to have a greater appreciation of Jesus, his baptism, and the Spirit that he sends, so that we receive more of his capacity for mission and ministry in us. And so we are better equipped for mission and ministry around this city. In other words, to receive more of his equipping, to be that bit closer to Jesus in our own lives. So this is about greater spiritual depth. And this is for all of us, young and old, adults and children. See, when we talk about this stuff, Helen and myself, we don't see any lower age limit for this. It should apply for all, for our children as well as ourselves. A desire to go deeper with God, experience more of him, and have more of that God with us, acting in us. Well, what's the biggest lever that each of us has? The biggest, most effective control knob to adjust for our own spirituality, our own ability to go deeper with him? Well, I would suggest that it's our attention to our spiritual rhythms and diet. Now, you've heard me talk about rhythm and diet before, and here's the thing. I don't have a brand new magic formula to give you. It's not like I've been here for 6 years and I've been sitting on this for all this time and now suddenly I'm going to get out my back pocket and say, here's the magic formula that I've been kept secret for the past 6 years. No, there is no magic formula. There is no special secret to get out. It's our attention to our own spiritual rhythms, what we are doing, what we are paying attention to and having in our life, our own diets, the different types of input, the different things that we make sure come into our life that are of a godly and good spiritual nature. That's the biggest lever each of us has. That's the most effective control knob that we can turn, is our spiritual rhythm and diet. And so I bring this up again because the reality is that none of us have ever got this cracked. Because the moment we think we've got it cracked, our life circumstances will change, and so we need to make another adjustment on our control panel, our spiritual rhythm and diets, to react to those new circumstances, to get things more healthy in the light of those new circumstances. In the run-up to Christmas, the kind of late November, into mid-December timeframe. For me, I could see things were going way off track, but spiritually, things were getting really, really difficult for me, and my existing spiritual rhythm and diet was not cutting it for the circumstances that I had in that run-up to Christmas, becoming worn out. And so I had to think, what adjustments can I make to have a healthy spiritual rhythm and diet for these new circumstances, for this period, to see us into Christmas and into the new year without collapsing in a heap? We all have to pay attention to our spiritual rhythm and diet and make adjustments when necessary. And only you can do that for yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. The person sitting next to you can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. Other leaders in the church can't do it for you. Only you can do that at the end of the day. That lever is a lever for you to operate. That control knob is for you to turn and get right. But what can help, of course, is to have the advice and the support and the encouragement and the wisdom of other people. So whilst I'm talking about this as a very individual thing, don't just try and do it alone. Which is why we talk of sharing the walk, of learning to do our discipleship with reference and with the support of other people. So be in a prayer triplet where you can share this stuff, where you can analyze this stuff and say, well, help me, because I need to make adjustments. Pray with me in that. Find someone that you can look up to, someone you think they've got something about their spirituality and their closeness to Jesus that I can benefit from. Someone who can be like a mentor figure for you. Remember, mentoring is not just simply for the youth to be mentored by some adults. Mentoring is for all of us. Someone that you can say, yeah, I can benefit from their wisdom or experience. Or who can I help with my wisdom and experience? Maybe they can benefit from a few things that I've learned along the way. In other words, be mentored and be prepared to mentor. We have a couple of desires for 2018 as a leadership team. Wouldn't it be fantastic if somehow we took a poll or got some feedback by the end of 2018, we could discover that actually the vast majority of our members were in some kind of effective prayer partnership or triplet where they were sharing the walk and doing discipleship together. To have a vast majority of people doing that would be awesome. And wouldn't it be great on the mentoring side, realizing that if we have any maturity as followers of Christ, then we ought to be able and prepared to mentor someone who is brand new to the faith. Wouldn't it be awesome if by the end of 2018, we could say just about every mature follower of Christ in this church had the confidence, if required, to mentor a brand new person to the faith. Which is why we produced at the end of last year resources to do that, a sharing your discipleship with someone who's new to the faith, a 7-session resource to use for that. It's not the only way of doing it, of course, but there's a resource for that. It's now available on the website, and we can talk you through again of how to use that. But wouldn't it be awesome if by the end of the year, just about every one of us was able to do that if required? Maybe it won't be required, but if required, we could do that. Because isn't that what Priscilla and Aquila did with Apollos? Didn't they quietly take him aside? I don't know if it was 1 session, 3 sessions, 7 sessions, or 30. I don't know. But they took him aside and said, let's work with you. We can mentor you. We can help you develop. And remember that one of the key things for Apollos and the next 12 people was that spiritual depth and spiritual upgrade, if you like, from the baptism of John, which was about preparation, to the real deal of the baptism of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Remember, John said, look, I'm calling on you to repent, but there's going to be Jesus, and he's going to come, and when he comes, he's going to baptize with the Spirit and fire. In other words, a big deal. Not just a kind of a minor thing, I'm doing this, and Jesus will just do slightly better. No, this was going to be a big deal when Jesus came. So be comfortable with the embrace of God and his Spirit, and move as his Spirit leads you in the Spirit's ministry, with the ministry of the Spirit's gifts. That's why we do things like gifts workshops. We've got another one coming up at the end of this month, the last Sunday of the month, 7 p.m. in here, which is just people getting together with a few tips and a simple exercise to help us learning to be comfortable in ministering in the power of his Spirit, his capacity in and through us. To have that desire and that comfort in moving in his Spirit is something we would like everyone to have, young and old alike. Because again, we don't see a lower age limit for moving in the power of the Spirit. We don't see the Spirit saying, oh, you're too young. So surely young and old alike can move in the power of the Spirit. If by the end of this year we saw a number of people free and confident to do that, that would be awesome. But as you know, I've got a bit of a beef here, because my experience is that I see women, I see females ministering in the power of the Spirit and confident to do this and keen to learn and to come to gifts workshops and try this stuff and see God take them to greater places. But I don't see the blokes doing that so much. And that's a bit of a beef that I've got. I've said this before. This won't be news to you. So I'm going to be a bit cheeky and say that as well as at the end of the year, it'd be great if we saw young and older like. Wouldn't it be great if we saw female and male alike ministering in the power of the Spirit and comfortable and confident to do that? We want to see everyone, whether you're youth, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're middle-aged but don't want to admit it, or young and old, it doesn't matter. To be finding that greater depth with God, because greater depth with God, as we've seen, there's a definite cause and effect. Greater depth with God means greater capacity for God to minister through us and among us. See, the bottom line, it's about us as individuals. Because church, at the end of the day, is a collection of people. So the first key question and challenge for this year is, where is God leading you to go deeper with him? Where might that be? What aspect of your life, what compartment of your life is God calling you to go deeper with him? For Apollos, for the 12, there was a clear need to go deeper. Where is that with you? And the challenge then is to make one clear positive adjustment as you start 2018. Now, hear me correctly. You don't need to make big, wild, audacious goals, because we know what it's like with New Year's resolutions. We're saying, oh, I'm going to do this. This is going to be the year when I'm going to sort this out. And of course, by the end of January, you haven't done it and you feel embarrassed about it and you think, oh, I just quietly skip the whole thing. Let's be honest. We don't need to make big, audacious goals. Think, what's one maybe quite teeny-weeny, but clear, positive adjustment that I can make. And I'll set about making that one teeny adjustment and see how that helps. And then I can go on to another adjustment and maybe a bigger adjustment and so on. So it's okay to start small. It might be that there's a thing to learn. It might be, yeah, actually, I'm going to check out a gifts workshop. I'm going to get myself into a partnership or a triplet. I'm going to join a small group, or I'm going to have that quiet time that I've been promising myself for the last 10 years and never done, or whatever it is, because it's an individual thing. It's a thing for you. Next week, we'll be looking at our second area, which is about us together, corporately, coming together. Churches, people, and people come together, and God acts and things happen. But there's a tricky thing and a subtlety that I want to throw out there as a little bit of a sneak preview for next week. It's easy to fall into a mindset and think, yeah, we come together on Sunday worship and we got a band and someone speaks and that's great and it really lifts me up and it really is a good thing and it sets me up for the week. And it's easy for people to say, that is the thing that I do that sets me up for the week. The trouble is with that, I get that, I understand that mentality and I've heard it said many times and I do understand that. But the trouble is that ultimately I think it's flawed. Because our spiritual rhythm and diet is a bigger picture than just the Sunday gathering together. The Sunday gathering together is really important and does a lot of good stuff, but it's a part of a bigger picture. So when I say pay attention to your spiritual rhythm and diet, don't neglect the corporate worship, the coming together. No, don't neglect that. Don't throw that away. But realize it's one part in a bigger, holistic picture. Apollos went and taught in the synagogue. That's the equivalent in the Jewish faith of their Sunday worship. But you also see in Acts lots of other things going on as well in all kinds of different ways, on all kinds of different days and times. Remember that Apollos grew not through his time in the synagogue, but by Priscilla and Aquila quietly taking him off and saying, let's do this discipleship elsewhere. So look at this holistically. Look at this with the big picture. Rather than I'll have a big shot in the arm on Sunday. So when I go into work on Monday, it's all praise the Lord and I was at worship yesterday and it was great. But when it comes to Friday, it's decayed away and it's like, well, I'm not really a Christian. It doesn't really matter. Now get a more holistic picture, something that is more steady, that has different components, a more wholesome rhythm and diet. Well, Apollos says we see he went off to be a co-worker. And he was a leader in his own right. You can read his name crops up in the letters to the Corinthians and in Titus as well. We're not all going to be leaders. I get that. That's fine. But we can all go deeper with God's. So we don't need big, audacious goals, and we don't need big, audacious goals corporately or individually. But what would happen if each of us thought, well, I'm going to attend to my spiritual rhythm and diets. I'm going to make that adjustment. I'm going to seek to go deeper with him. And if each and every one of us, that had an effect on our lives of, say, 10%. So not huge change, but 10% in each of our lives. Well, there's 50-odd people in here. 10%, 50-odd people is the equivalent of 5 people. If I was given 5 new people offering themselves as community ministers, that would be awesome. And they don't even have to offer themselves as a full-time offer. They can say, I can give you just one day a week. 5 people doing one day a week gives me a full-time equivalent community minister. That would just be awesome for stuff that this church and what we would do collectively together if we had that, just by each and every one of us seeking God for 10%. So let's be embraced by Him, by God with us, His Spirit in us, which ultimately means His capacity for ministry in us. Why don't we stand to pray? The musicians might like to get ready in their places, and we will seek Him and His Spirit.